Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jeff Rovell, who is joining us now for the remainder of the show. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
And Jeff, you're a Roslyn resident.
I am a Roslyn Heights resident of 45 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And the interesting thing is Jeff is involved with the pharmaceutical and medical device industry. So what we're going to do is Jeff is going to be the co-host for the rest of the program. But for this segment, I want to learn a little bit about Jeff and how you got involved in this type of thing. You know, I don't mean not divulging anything personal, but it's nice to know the person we're talking with.
Okay, well, I was a graduate student, first of all. I went to University of Vermont Medical School and got a PhD in medical physiology and biophysics.
Okay.
And luckily for me, I had always dreamed of working with a famous muscle physiologist in England. And so I was lucky enough to get a British Heart Foundation fellowship to work with one of the leaders in heart research in England for 2 years. I enjoyed that. England was very different in terms of what I had to do. I had everything done for me in graduate school. I had an assistant who prepared experiments and did everything for me and developed the instrumentation. And when I got to England, the professor said, well, you know, we do everything by ourselves here, so you better go down to the shop and learn how to make things.
Wow.
So it was, I call it a revelation.
That's good.
And basically, in addition to that, my office was a little hut on the top of University College. And it was really a wooden hut. And it was an experience of moving back in time, but moving forward and dealing with some of the leaders in research and medical. And after 2 years of doing experiments, I decided I didn't want to be in research. I liked people a lot better than looking at things in test tubes and all kinds of things. So I got a job with Johnson & Johnson as a sales rep for Ortho Pharmaceuticals, which was the oral contraceptive boom in Long Island and all over. And I took the job wanting to get into J&J in a managerial or something to do with clinical research. And I was the best salesman of the year, and nonetheless, I didn't really get elevated to the corporate office, so I quit.
Okay.
And I went to take a job at Pfizer. And Pfizer, I worked in clinical research, basically running clinical trials, which was getting doctors to understand which was the placebo cabinet and which was the drug cabinet. That was rather challenging sometime. So after about a year of that, I was lucky. I got called to the president's office, who I didn't know why I got called there. And he said, you know a lot about medical devices. And of course, I didn't. I was a scientist and doing clinical, looking at drug studies. He looked at something that in England, I was dealing with some instruments. And so the instrumentation meant to him patient monitoring. There's a screen that was in a oscilloscope. But of course, I had nothing to do with patients at all.
Right. Okay.
And so he said,
"We're going back. What year is this?"
This is 1972.
Okay. Okay.
As I recall, he said I had $100 million to spend, and I said, "Well, what?" He said, "Well, on the medical device called non-pharmaceutical healthcare, NPHP. So lucky for me, they identified a company in England that was making orthopedic implants, hips and knees, back in 72, 73, which was very early. There were none here, really. And through a process of being a member of a team, looking at that technology and knowing that I knew a little bit about England, about drinking beer at the pub and everything, and knew how to a few English words, I was on the team to identify how good this was.
Right, okay.
And they, in terms of the financial people who were much above me, decided that this was a good thing to buy. So we bought it, as I recall, for about $80 million. And somehow through the team, I ended up as the assistant director of research and development, which was kind of funny because I knew nothing about implants or metals or anything like that. But nonetheless,
you're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and I was interviewed by a very elegant Frenchman, and I don't remember his name, who took a long time to cut his cigar, as I remember. And after the interview, I guess I said I wanted the job, which is always a good thing to do. And he, in some not very good English, as I remember, and then I was off to visit the president of the company that we bought, and it turned out to be J&J, ex-J&J guy. And once you said you were with J&J, that was kind of, I mean, in those days, it was like unbelievable. You're a member of the team, whether you knew anything or not.
Okay.
So he approved my position, and from then on, I had to learn a little bit about what hips and knees and implants were. So as I recall, the vice president was a very very nice gentleman named Bob McCaffrey. Said to me, "Well, you know, Jeff, you know, you don't know much about this stuff. What are you going to do?" And somebody suggested I go get an MBA, which was not really what I wanted to do. So he sent me out to learn. So I just went out in the field and traveled around looking at people doing hips and knees, which in those days it would take about 2.5 hours to do a hip. This is a total hip replacement.
Okay, okay.
It was the beginning. And I had my hip done last September and took 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Okay, okay.
And basically it's, you know, the technology. So that was it. I did that for about a year, 2 years, well, 10 years I was with Pfizer, and I ended up being part of new business development.
Okay.
And so I was asked, and we bought a lot of companies, and I learned a lot about medical devices, mainly the process of identifying something that's good, working with physicians. I call it doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, because some of the people you dealt with were incredibly non-medical, but come up with an idea and you had to deal with them, and some were very good.
Okay.
So for 10 years I was at Pfizer, and part of buying companies, evaluating companies, and learning how to do new product development. So taking an idea, what do you do with it in terms of patentability, and then developing it, and then most of all, how do you market it? Because even in identifying good products with focus groups and everything else, nothing happens to a sale is made. So you might go to a focus group and find out that people will be wildly interested in the product. But nonetheless, when you went out to sell it, they said, well, I mean, we really, there's some question about that. So I learned a lot. There's not a lot of successes. There's a lot of failures.
Right, okay.
And after 10 years, I was kind of anxious to be a big shot in the company, so I took a job as the chief operating officer of a company which is called Lasers for Medicine. And laser sounded really good technology to me, and I knew nothing about lasers, but a very interesting gentleman by the name of Erwin Sullinger, who was a very successful entrepreneur and sold his company for a lot of money, somehow got a hold of me. And I went to visit him in a very, very large house in Old Brookville, and he said, you know, Jeff, you're going to be CEO for President and Lasers, we're going to make a lot of money together, I'll give you a little car. And so I took the job. And it turned out I had a partner of another company, and he didn't know anything about really anything but developing disposable products. He had no idea what a laser was to do.
Right, okay.
So he thought it was really easy, you know, you make a laser and you sell it. This was for ophthalmic use. This was one of the first ophthalmic lasers.
Wow.
The company called Lasers for Medicine. And one thing led to another, and I was like, I developed the company, and it was, I had four people, and we worked very hard. The only problem is we're a little company competing with a big company that had a laser to do the same thing. And if you bought the intraocular lenses, which were used after the laser procedure, they give you the laser for free. So I didn't have a very good marketing premise, right, saying mine's 100,000, but you could get this for free with lenses. So it didn't last very long.
Right, no, that's a tough one. That's a tough competition there.
Absolutely. So, you know, a year of that and little ups and downs of the of doing being a big shot, I left, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I said, well, I think I could help people identify products and evaluate them. So I became a consultant. A bad word. I don't like consultants anyway. Nobody likes consultants, you know. So actually, I had one card, and I won't tell the story now, but I didn't like consultant, but I made up a card that says strategic irritant and insultant. And it was a funny thing. It was a funny thing, but not so funny. I went to a show, which was the ARN, Annual Nurses Convention, and I knew somebody who worked for 3M. And I went over to this girl, her name is Todd Wessonen, and I said, she worked for us at Orthopedics at Halmedica. That was the name of the company. And I said, Todd, hello. And she said, hi, Jeff, how are you? And I said, well, yeah, I have this card here. And she looked at it, and she says, strategic irritants and insultant. She says, I need one of those. I was amazed. The first person I saw at the show. So I said, well, it was worth the $20 or what at that time for cards. So anyway, this was an interesting thing. And then I'll stop. It was an interesting example of a big company, 3M, who was looking at Jeff Revelle to help them with an incredibly important thing to them. And, you know, I didn't know what the job was.
Right, okay.
So I was asked to come to Minneapolis, and I went to Minneapolis very soon after, and I had lunch with this girl, and we always had a custom in Minnesota of having cod cheeks for dinner, whatever those are, maybe codfish cheeks.
Right.
After lunch, we sat down with a very large meeting of people, and I began to know what the project was. It was a project related to a gentleman by the name of Remington. I can't remember what his name is now.
I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Okay.
Okay, we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.